Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors, and it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
So when it comes to using a credit card, when it comes to using your credit card, most people think that utilization depends on your usage, and it doesn't. Okay. It just depends on what you carry over, and I'll explain it. Utilization is only reported one day a month. So it's on your statement date, which is the last day of your billing cycle. Matter of fact, everybody who has a credit card needs to look at their credit card statement and find their statement date. It's the last day of the billing cycle. That date is so important because whatever balance that you have on a credit card, that is what's going to be reported to the credit bureaus and also used as your utilization. Your statement date is different from your due date. So most people get confused because your due date is going to be before your statement date, probably like a week or two prior. So even if you paid your credit card bill down to zero by your due date, if that balance is not still under 10% by your statement date, then it's not going to be counted as your utilization. It's not going to be reported to the credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. So identifying when your statement date is and making sure that you pay your balance, pay off at least 90% of whatever you spent during the month, pay off that balance, then you'll be good. Because, like, if you have a $500 credit card, you can use the entire $500. You don't have to stay below 30% or 10%. You just have to make sure you pay it back within that same billing cycle, which is key.
Okay. So what are the first steps to building good credit history?
Okay. So the first steps I would say is, so I have a basic base level credit profile recommendation for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. I say that if you are wanting to build credit, but like build a healthy credit profile that will continue to grow and kind of set you up to get high credit offers and low interest rates and all of that, the base level credit profile, everyone needs at least two credit cards. It needs to be at least two revolving credit cards, right? Doesn't matter the limit, doesn't matter if it's subprime, it doesn't matter if it's secured. You can literally get two $200 credit cards, right? Make sure that you keep that utilization every single month. You keep that utilization below 10%, right? And then because we have to hit a limit of, we have to hit at least four accounts, two of them will be credit cards. The third account needs to be a short-term installment. A short-term installment is just any installment under 36 months. Self, kickoff. There, every bank pretty much offers a credit builder loan. And then if you can, get a long-term installment. So if you have a student loan, if you have a car loan, if you have a mortgage, those are considered long-term installments. So if you already have those, you don't need to apply for another one. Just focus on the other three accounts. And having those four accounts, two being credit cards, two being installments, short-term and long-term, it's going to, and not applying for anything else, I want to be clear, do not apply for anything else after you get that those accounts. Don't apply for anything else for 6 to 9 months, and you should be able to get pretty much any credit card that you want. Consider, if you pay it on time, and, you know, of course, make sure you're not getting collections and other things. But yeah, that's the perfect credit profile that speaks to the credit scoring algorithm and will allow your credit score to grow at the most rapid pace.
Would you put the buy now, pay later companies into that short term, right? Like the Affirms of the world?
It depends, because I see a lot of those on credit reports, and right. I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of those, people are getting them too often. Like they'll finance a $200 purchase. Any loan under $200 just looks like a low level loan. It's not, it doesn't feed the algorithm of the credit scores. They pretty much kind of look down on that, right? Like, so if you're applying for credit and your lender sees a lot of those buy now, pay later accounts and low level is what they call low level accounts, that almost, regardless of what your score is, that's almost to your detriment, because it looks like this person is not financially stable. A lot of people don't realize that their score doesn't tell, like their score is just for a consumer, really. When it comes to like your lenders, they're looking at so much more than your score. Like there are so many other determinant factors of if you're going to get approved for a car, over your score. Like your score tells them nothing, because you can falsely inflate your score. People buy trade lines all the time and things of that nature. When it comes to your credit profile, doing things like that, I would not recommend. Not in the beginning, not unless you have an established credit profile with years of credit history, then you can kind of afford to have those accounts.
So, okay. So what's the best ways to use credit cards to improve your credit score?
Yeah, credit cards are my favorite, because like I said, they are like the only accounts that have an immediate impact. Like when you get a loan, you're not really going to see, you don't really see the positive benefits of a loan until you're at least 90% done. So most people will get a car loan and they're like, I've been paying my car on time. Why is my score not increasing? It's because you're very early into that loan, right? When it comes to credit cards, you can see a change in your credit score within like 60 days, as long as you know how to use it. And I would say how I use, we can just use a $200 credit card, for instance, right? If you have a $200 credit card, the first thing you're going to do is identify your due date and your statement date, right? Your due date, you want to make sure that I zero out my balance on my due date, because any balance that you carry over past your due date, your bank can charge you interest on, or will charge you interest on. So after my due date passes, I wait until my statement date, and I make sure that my balance is whatever the credit card limit is. If I have a $200 credit card, I make sure my balance is below $20 going into that next cycle. After your statement date passes, rinse and recycle. You can spend it or, you know, do whatever you please. But identifying those two dates, understanding when you need to pay your credit card, understanding how much you need to carry over or not, will be the saving grace for credit limit increases and growing your credit score. So let me
ask a follow-up. Is it mm-hmm. you're supposed to pay off the full balance or leave a little bit on? Because some people say you're supposed to leave a little bit on the credit card.
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that. I pay my full balance off by my due date, so I'm not charged interest. However, I do carry over 1% to 3% on my statement date.
Why?
If you report a 0% utilization, sometimes the algorithm could read that as you don't have a credit card, one. Or, contrary to popular belief, lenders don't like when you don't use your credit card. Yeah, like they want to see usage, because that doesn't, if you're not using a credit card, that doesn't really speak to your money management or financial management skills. It just shows you don't use it, right? So if you leave a small balance, it shows that you use it, but also shows that you pay it back.
I think that's a very common misconception. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize that, like, I would use the card, or even for the company, I would use the card, pay it down. Mm-hmm. On a personal level, when I did it, I watched my credit score drop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it showed that I had zero. I'm like, wait, I thought I'm doing the right thing because mm-hmm. I have nothing, but it shows that there's zero utilization there. But let's stay on utilization. When is it a good time to now ask for a credit increase?
Ooh, my favorite. Yeah. Depending on the bank, I ask for a credit limit increase every 91 to like 120 days. Like, I'm getting, on all of my credit cards, I'm getting multiple credit limit increases a year. But you have, like, so my sort of trick, or not trick, but what I advise of people is, if you know you have a card that can obviously grow, because you have some cards that they just won't give you capital. They won't give you an increase. they'll give you an increase, or they may not give you an increase, or it'll be like very minimal, right? So if you're dealing with, like, am I able to say companies' names?
Yeah.
If you're dealing with what's considered the top three, which is Amex, Chase, and Citi, they're going to give you a credit limit increase. However, you have to make sure that 60 days, the 60 days prior to you, until you're asking for that increase, you are feeding the algorithm. Number one, make sure you have automated payment on, right? It could be for at least your minimum payment. Like, it doesn't have to be your full balance. Just have auto pay on, because the system loves that, right? Make sure that you have at least two reoccurring charges on your credit card. By the way, any subscription that people have, this is one thing that drives me crazy. If you have Netflix, Hulu, Apple Music, and a host of other subscriptions that we have, make sure those are on a credit card. Like, there's no reason why any subscription should be from a debit card, because that's a wasted opportunity to have reoccurring charges on your credit card. Having at least two reoccurring charges, having auto pay set up, making sure you do at least 10 transactions within that month. And also, like I said, making sure you pay on time. Do that for at least 60 days, so two billing cycles, and then you apply for an increase. But if you have a card and you're not using it, you're not going to get a credit limit increase, regardless of how high your credit score is. A lot of banks will not give you the increase simply because you just don't use the card enough. Because that's actually the number one reason for credit limit increase denials, is low usage on the card.
So, okay. How can you avoid pitfalls with credit cards? Because obviously a lot of people fall into issues. Obviously, just don't spend too much. But, you know, what are some ways, it's like best practices as far as using credit cards the right way?
Yes, that's a big one. And to be completely honest, like I tell people, credit card is not an extension of your money. It should replace the money, like your bank account, right? So I am a person that lives off my credit card. And when I say live off my credit card, I mean all of my daily expenses or anything that could be on a credit card, I use my credit card for, because I want the points, I want the usage and all of that. However, I make sure that I pay it back. That's the thing. Do not spend, if you don't have it in your bank account, or know you're not getting it in your bank account within the next 2 weeks, you don't have it to spend, regardless of if it's a credit card or what. The only exception is if it's like an emergency, you know, like if you just can't help it, you have a true emergency, not shopping or anything like that, then it's really easy to manage a credit card, as long as you're not looking at it as if it's an extension of your money. It's not. You have to pay it back. And it's just like, that's where checking your financial habits will come into play. A lot of times people will improve their credit, get access to these high limit cards, and then they find themselves in the hole deep because they can't manage their money properly. They go out and spend, and not realizing, like, you got to pay that back. So yeah, you just got to make sure that you're not looking at your credit card limit as your money, because it's not.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.